Good evening, brothers and sisters. It's wonderful to be back with you again in Enniskillen. Thank you so much for your prayers. We're not long home from Ukraine again. Jacqueline and I and the rest of the team, we had a great trip, so we thank God for your prayers. We thank God for your support. If you remember the last time I was talking to you, we're trying to get Bibles into the hands of the people out there. So thank you so much for the financial support that was given to get the Word of God into the hands of the people over there. The Bibles, as you know, I told you then, we got them in Beulah Bookshop in Newcastle, and the Trinitarian Bible Society took them right to the border of Ukraine, where they chased them and told them to go away. They weren't allowing Bibles into the country. So we prayed hard, and they went back again, and they turned them away again. So we prayed again, and eventually the Lord opened the door, and the Word of God got into Ukraine. So it's such a blessing to go out into the ministry, into orphanages and prisons and villages armed with the Word of God. It makes such a difference in people's lives. It made a difference in my life, and why not in somebody else's life? So it's such a blessing to be here again tonight, brothers and sisters. Thank you so much for your prayers, for all of your support, and the people of Ukraine really felt the benefit of that. Through everything that was happening, we saw souls coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We head back again at Christmas. We've got a lot of work on at Christmas. All of those Bibles that we were able to buy, we bought another 450 children's Bibles to get into the orphanages with. We have four outreaches going to be taking place over Christmas. Mr. Porter was asking, do the Ukrainians celebrate Christmas the way that we do? No. They glorify God at Christmas. We are glorifying the world and everything else that goes with it over in this country. We forgot the reason for the season. The true reason is meant to be all about the Savior coming into this world. And I know we don't argue about dates and all things like that, but you know something, it's a time that's been set aside to worship the Lord and to thank God for the gift of His Son coming into this world. This country's forgotten that. It really has. So sad when Christmas comes around and there's no worship. But in Ukraine, we have great outreaches to thousands of people, children, adults, and it's such a blessing to be there. So please pray for us as we go back. Many things taking place at the House of Hope, along with the orphans. We want to try and get all the orphans a Christmas present, as well as giving them the Word of God itself. So please pray for us. Thank you so much to Mr. Porter for the invitation to come back again and to tell you how I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. 27 years ago, I can't believe it. It seems like it was only a few years ago that the Lord saved my soul. And, you know, I love my salvation. I love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. He has turned my life round and Jacqueline's life round. From what we used to be to what we are now. And I'm going to tell you a little bit of that as we go along. So thank you for the invitation to come back. Revelation chapter 21. And it's just a short reading, but this is something that the Lord laid on my heart then. And again, He reminded me about it today. Revelation chapter 21, verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And then if you look at chapter 20, and just the last verse of chapter 20. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let's just pray. Father, we thank Thee again for these words from Thy precious Word, for the warnings from Thy Word. Father, we just love Thy Word. We thank You, Father, that Thy Word is forever settled in heaven. Whilst at the same time that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Father, we understand tonight that no man, no woman, no young person can be saved outside of the words of God. There is only through the words of God himself that men and women can be saved and their lives changed. We thank you, Father, that not only we're saved through the word, but how that we're built up and made stronger through the precious word of God. So, Father, be with us tonight. We pray that if there's one here tonight struggling in their faith, Father, that you will help them. If there's one here tonight, Father, not saved, still on that broad road that leads them right into hell and onto a lost eternity, Father, be with them tonight. Speak to their hearts. And, Father, we pray that by the end of this service, another man, woman, young person will have given his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And, Father, we promise that we'll give thee all the praise and the glory and the honor. And we ask all of these things in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I was brought up not far from Glasgow. I brought up into a Roman Catholic family. And a family that went through all of the normal rituals or traditions of the Roman Catholic Church, if you would like. I remember my mother sending me along to the confessional box every Saturday morning, and I would go into the priest and I would tell him all the wrong things that I had did since my last confession, which would have been the week previous. And he would then tell you that your sins were forgiven, to go in peace. And that was one thing I never remember doing. I never remember ever going in peace, because at the end of the day, it was a man who was telling me that my sins were forgiven. It wasn't God who was telling me that my sins were forgiven. That was a practice then, still the practice today. I also, apart from a Saturday morning, she used to send me along to the chapel every Sunday. And I would go into the chapel and go through. It was the same thing week in, week out. And I remember starting to think, even as a teenager, that I didn't like what I was hearing. I wasn't that interested in what they had to say. And as I grew older, I started to question some of the practices within that system. And one of those practices was the practice of idolatry, praying to statues of who was meant to be the Lord Jesus Christ, praying to Mary and all of these different saints and icons and statues and many, many different things. You know what I'm talking about. And I used to question that practice. Do these things actually hear me? Because I've been praying to them for so long, there is no response. Things are still the same in my life. Nothing has changed. And it wasn't until later on in life, when I got saved, that the Lord answered that question that I had from then. And Psalm 27 went on to tell us that these things are made of silver. Sorry, Psalm 115. These things are made of silver and gold. Today they're made of absolutely anything. Anything that will make money. Plastic, wood, silver, gold, it doesn't matter. They sell all these icons and crucifixes, and they're putting them out into the hands of people, encouraging them to commit idolatry. And I used to question all of these things. Nothing has changed. And it wasn't until I got saved that God showed me that through that psalm. They're made of silver and gold, and those who worship them, he said, they have ears, but they can't hear. They have eyes, but they can't see. He said, they have hands, but they can't handle, and feet, but they can't walk. He says, and those who make them and those who worship them are just like unto them. And this was one of the main questions that I had as I was going through. But I left home at 18 years of age, still Roman Catholic at that time. I left home at 18 years of age. I joined the army and was in the army for a number of years. One of the tours that we did was to Berlin in Germany, West Berlin at the time. And one of the duties that we had then was Spandau Prison, where we guarded Rudolf Hess. That was Adolf Hitler's deputy Führer. We looked after him, tried to stop people from breaking in to help him to break out, sort of thing. But he was an old man, and he actually hung himself in one of the cells when he was about 92 years of age. So that was one of the duties that we had as I went through the army. And then, guess where they sent me? You've got it. Northern Ireland. Everybody gets sent to Northern Ireland in those days, didn't they? In 1974, I ended up over here in Northern Ireland. I actually finished my time in the Army after 2 years in Belfast and Crossmaglen and so on. I met my wife Jacqueline here and left the Army and got married. And now I'm married into a Christian family because Jacqueline's mother and father and two sisters were believers. But Jacqueline wasn't a believer at that time. And I married into this Christian family who were so gracious, tried to help me the best they could. By this time, I was heavily involved in alcohol, and I was on another road. I was on the road to destruction, let's just put it that way. And then from the frying pan into the fire, I left the Army and I joined the RUC. And for the RUC, I was for the next 24 years, I was going to be in the police. For 18 of those years, I worked with Ian Paisley, looking after the doc and his family, protecting them. He didn't know at the time that there was a Roman Catholic protecting his life, so he had a really good laugh about that when he did find out. And whenever I get saved, they became great help. They were a wonderful blessing in my life. I didn't see the politician. I saw the family man. I saw the family, and they rallied to support this new Christian. And what a blessing they became in my life. And then when God called us into the work, the family came in behind it, and they were such a blessing. And right through until this day, they're a great blessing in my life and in Jacqueline's life. So now that I was in the police, I was still very far from God. I was still all of the teachings from the Roman Catholic Church, because the Roman Catholic Church used to tell you then, and they'll tell you today, give me a child at 5 years of age and we'll have them for life. And you know something, there's an awful lot of truth in that. But he was one who escaped thanks to the grace of God. You know, many, many children are caught up in that system where there's no teaching. You don't know how privileged you really are. You really don't. Brothers and sisters, I remember every Sunday when we were maybe out in the street, and the Catholic friends and the Protestant friends, we all used to play together. But about 2:30, all the Protestant friends used to disappear. And I used to say, where are you going? And they said, Sunday school. And I said, what's that? They said, we learn about Jesus there. And I remember feeling, oh boy, I would love to learn. I would love to hear about the stories of Jesus and the Bible stories. I remember thinking like that then, but we were never allowed ever to go into a so-called Protestant church. You were never allowed to go and partake in anybody else's teaching. So it just wasn't going to happen. And this is why I'm saying, you don't know how privileged you are. You really don't. Like Timothy, you know, from a child thou hast known the scriptures. You have known the word of God since you were little children, I'm sure, as you went through all the children's meetings within the church, Sunday school and the midweek meetings. And you don't know, brothers and sisters, you have no idea the blessing that you have of being able to do that. Don't take that teaching for granted. Please never take it for granted. Because there's so many other children who want it and they can't get it, and they'll never get it. So don't ever take that sort of thing for granted. Go to your meetings. Send your children to your meetings because they're hearing the truth. And thank God tonight for the truth of the Word of God, because we never received anything. We got nothing. I was still in the police by this time and drinking heavily, giving Jacqueline and three daughters a difficult time through my alcoholic life. But then I remember, as I was stationed in Belfast, that a new policeman came into the station, and immediately he went to everyone and he says to them, I'm a born again Christian. He just nailed his colours to the mast immediately, and they all had a good laugh at him. And I remember laughing, but when the laughing stopped, I said to myself, what's a born again Christian? Because as a Roman Catholic, we would have never used phrases about being born again. But he became a very good friend of mine. He lived not too far from me, and we used to travel back and forward to work. He would tell me all about his Savior. And for 2 years, this happened. But when he came to me at the start, he had applied to leave the RUC and to join the prison service, which was usually a transaction that would have took Haken 4 or 5 months at that time. 2 years later, he was still with me. And I remember everything came to a head one day as I worked with him. He wasn't talking to me this day because I had been drinking and he'd fallen out with me. But as he sat there, it was his silence that spoke to me that day, because I'd heard all the stories that he wanted to tell me. But as I sat looking at him, I thought, what is it that's different? There's something really different about this fella. He doesn't join in with all the other boys going drinking and doing this, that, and the other. He reads his Bible. He goes to church. He goes preaching in churches. He does all these things. I had never met anybody who did all these things outside of the Paisley family. So that day, I was led to ask him the first question that I had ever asked anyone of a spiritual matter. And I said, Joe, you've told me that you're a born-again Christian when you came here first 2 years ago. What is a born-again Christian? And he said, are you serious? Do you really want to know? I said, yes, I do want to know. Brothers and sisters, I didn't realize it then, but God had already started to work in my heart. He was bringing things like this to my mind. I was becoming inquisitive and asking questions about spiritual matters. And this was the first one. What does it mean to be born again? He said, first of all, do you realize that you're a sinner? Now, friends, I don't know you all. Maybe you're here tonight and you're in the same position that I was in 27 years ago. Maybe you're sitting here and you're not saved yet. And because of that, you're still on that broad road that's going to lead you to destruction. He asked me, do you realize that you're a sinner? And I said, yes. I said, I am a sinner. I know I'm a bad sinner. I realize that. Friends, I want to ask you that same question. Do you realize that you're a sinner? Because the Word of God says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that there is none good, that there is none righteous, that we have all sinned. Do you realize that? And if you do not accept that you're a sinner, do you know that you can never be saved? Do you realize that? If you're going to deny that you're in sin, then what are you going to be saved from? You must acknowledge that you're a sinner. And only then will that work of God begin in your heart, the moment that you accept that you're a sinner who needs to be saved from that sin. Secondly, he said, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came into this world and died upon the cross for your sin? And I said, yes, I do believe that. And friends, I'm asking you that same question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is Lord, and that he came into this world? And this is why we celebrate Christmas, because he came into this world. But he didn't come just to be born as a baby or to live a good life. He came into this world to lay down his life for sinners. He came, he suffered, he shed his blood, and he died upon the cross for the sins of the world, your sin and my sin. Do you believe that? Because if you don't believe that, you can never be saved either. Thirdly, he said, do you believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the third day? And I said, yes, I believe that I'm a sinner. I believe that he died. I believe that he rose again from the dead. Friends, do you believe that? Do you believe that the Son of God loved you and died for you and rose again from the dead on the third day? Because again, if you don't believe that he rose again from the dead, you can never be saved from your sin. We must believe in our heart the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins. And we must confess with our mouth that he rose again from the dead. And the Bible said that if we believe that, then we shall be saved. I remember talking to Joe that day for 4 hours. I was being torn in two. I didn't know what way to turn. Eventually, I got away from him. After 4 hours of him talking to me about salvation and so on, I get into the police car. I went into Belfast in the police car. As soon as I stepped out of the police car, this stranger appeared in front of me. And he said, son, have you been born again? And I looked at him and I said, yes, I have. I was trying to be funny, trying to be smart. And then I said, no, I haven't. Brothers and sisters, can you see that God was keeping conviction upon me that day? After 4 hours with Joe, this complete stranger starts to talk to me about being born again. I went home that night. Jacqueline was in hospital. The children were out playing in the garden. And I sat down with a little booklet that Joseph had given me, and I started to read it. It talked about sin. It talked about how that all have sinned. And you know something, that outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, every man, woman that's been born into this world has been born in sin and shaping in iniquity. Every one of us has been born in sin. And it's because of that sin that it's taken us right into hell. So it showed us very, very clearly, you're a sinner. Secondly, it talked about the Savior. It talked about Jesus Christ. See that text that you have on your balcony there? What a wonderful text. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ that men and women and young people can be saved. But I was told as I grew up, there's no salvation outside of the Roman Catholic Church. That if you're not a Catholic, you're going to hell. And this is what was going through my mind as I was hearing all these things and reading all of these things. But the one thing that I had in my favor as I sat reading that book that night, I had scriptural references from the Word of God itself to show me that all of these things were true. And friends, the Word of God is true. We can believe it, we can read it, and we can trust it 100%. And as I sat there reading about sin and reading about salvation and reading about the Lord Jesus Christ, I found out, I was in absolutely no doubt, that I was a hell-deserving sinner. And that, thank God, that salvation was found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. That night, as I came to the end of that little book, it said, if you want to be saved from your sin, if you want to be a believer, pray this little prayer. And I'm ashamed to tell you that, but I didn't even know how to pray. I didn't even know where to begin. But one thing I did know, I wanted God in my life. I wanted my life changed. I wanted my sins forgiven. I wanted to know God. So I prayed this little prayer that was in the back cover. You know something? Thank God he looks in our heart, doesn't he? He looks upon our hearts. And I prayed that prayer of repentance that night. As I repented, the Lord changed my mind that night from not believing in his Son to believing that Jesus Christ is Lord, the one who died for my sins, the one who rose again from the dead. I repented, and as I repented, he converted me. That's what the Word of God says. Repent, and you shall be converted, and your sins shall be blotted out. That's exactly what happened to me as I sat at home that night, repenting, believing in Jesus Christ. He took away that old cold, hard heart, sinful heart, and he gave me a heart of flesh. And then he blotted my sins out. Brothers and sisters, it happened in an instant of time. The moment that I believe, he changed my heart and forgave my sin. That night, I became a child of God. I went into the kitchen. I poured all of the alcohol down the sink. And I said, Lord, I don't know who you are. I don't even really know what I've done. But I'm going to come to you and I'm going to trust you. You'll have to help me. I went to work the next day. All the policemen, they knew me as one of the boys. And I said, I got saved last night. I became a Christian last night. So they had a good laugh at that. And for a number of months, they gave me a bit of a hard time. But isn't it worth it? Isn't it worth it? They said, don't worry about it. You'll get over it. You'll be back to us in 3 weeks. That was 27 years ago. So I hope they're still not waiting for me. But that day, Joe gave me a Bible. I never had a Bible before. I didn't even know that the Bible was the Word of God. I thought some man sat down and wrote this book. That's how ignorant I was. I didn't know what a Bible was. I had never been in a church before. I didn't know. But you know something? The moment I got my hands on the Word of God, I fell in love with it. I started to read the Word of God. And I started to read it in Genesis. I didn't know how to read it. I read it from Genesis to Revelation in 4 weeks. Didn't understand anything, so I did it again. I still didn't understand anything. And then the church I was going to, the elders took me and said, look, settle down, do this and do that and try this. And as I settled down into the Word of God, I ended up reading it for 17 hours every day for the next 6 years. I could not stop reading the Word of God. And I still can't stop. What a book we have brothers and sisters, what a book we have. The holy, precious, infallible, inspired Word of God Himself. I never had a Bible as a child. I never even had one as an adult. We didn't know. We were never told. We were never taught. And your Roman Catholic neighbors here, they don't know either. They're totally ignorant to the Word of God. They don't know what it is. I hope you're telling them. I hope every believer in here takes his opportunity to go to the Roman Catholic community, your Roman Catholic neighbors, and tell them about the love of God and what the Word of God is actually saying, because they're being taught something else the minute they go through those doors of the chapel. Fall in love with the Word of God. We've got some book. What a book we have. And this is why in Faith in Action Missions, we major on the Word of God. Everywhere we go, we want to get the Word of God into children, elderly people, no matter where it is. The Word of God bringeth life. Thank God, brothers and sisters, tonight for the precious Word of God. We just saved Jacqueline, came out of hospital, and she called her sister, who was a believer, and said, "He's acting strange. He's not drinking anymore. He's reading a Bible. Something's wrong. Something's happened to him." And Maureen said, "Praise the Lord." She says, "I hope it keeps happening to him." And then I told Jacqueline that I had come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. She didn't believe me. She wasn't going to believe me after all the lies and deceit that I had put her through. And then as the days went on, she saw that there was a transformation taking place in my life. And within 3 weeks, Jacqueline had also repented and come to faith in the Savior, along with my young daughter at that time. So now that we were saved, we were serving the Lord in our local assembly. The Lord reminded me that I had a family in Scotland and went back to them. Sadly, it was for the death of my grandmother. So it meant going back into the chapel that day. I was only saved a matter of months. But we went back again, and Jacqueline said, "What do we do in here?" She said, "I've never been in a place like this. What do I do?" I said, "You don't do anything." I said, "Just follow what I do." I said, "We're not here to worship Mary. We're not here to take part in this meeting." I said, "So we don't do anything." And at the end of the meeting, the funeral service, my father came to me and said, "You brought shame upon the family. Go away and never return here again." And I found that quite difficult. I found it very challenging just as a new Christian. I thought, "Lord, is this what happens when you become a Christian? Does your mother and father throw you out?" And the Lord showed me Psalm 27, that when your father and mother forsake you, then I will take you up. And you know something, brothers and sisters, it was such a difficult time in my life, but what a blessing. What a blessing as the Lord drew me closer to Him and helped me through those difficult days. And then I got the call that my mother was dying with cancer. We were back to the family home, and I remember going into the bedroom, and it was difficult for her to breathe. But before she became ill, I had the opportunity before that funeral service to tell her about the Lord Jesus Christ. And she was such a devout Roman Catholic, she just wouldn't listen to anything. She was reporting me to the priest. "He's telling me this and he's telling me that." And the priest was able to say, "Yes, he's found God." The priest knew that I had found God, but he didn't know how to tell anybody else how to find God. But here was my mother dying now with cancer. And I remember taking her hand, and I told you I didn't know how to pray. I really didn't know how to pray. But I remember taking her hand that day, and I said, "Father," I said, "please don't let my mother die like this in front of me and go to hell." I said, "She doesn't know. She's been doing all this in ignorance. Please give her this one more opportunity just to understand and to hear the gospel." And 20 minutes later, she opened her eyes and we propped her up in the pillow. And she says, "Donald, I was able to listen to you." She said, "I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior." And brothers and sisters, this is why I tell you that I love my Savior. I love everything about Him. I'll go anywhere. I'll talk to anyone. I'll do anything for Him. Why? Look at what He has done for me. Not only did He save me and my wife and my daughter, but He saved my mother right from the very brink of hell. She was a heartbeat away from hell. And this is why I'm telling you tonight, I love my Savior. Do you love your Savior? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't be ashamed. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Silence. I'll ask you again. Do we love the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Brothers and sisters, and if we don't love Him, then there's something sadly wrong in our lives. Look at what He has done for us. Look at how He took our sins upon His own body. Look at the beatings that He took, the mockings, the scourgings, the thorns. And during those hours of darkness, the sins of the world was laid upon Him. How can we not love Him? How can we not get out there and tell people within our own communities exactly what Jesus Christ means to us, and to show it in our lives, and to lead other people to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're sitting here tonight and you're not saved, dear friend, I know exactly where you're coming from, because I was there, and I remember my past life so well. It was a terrible past life, but I remember it, and it wasn't a good life. Please don't be leaving here tonight without accepting this Savior into your life. He'll come in. He'll not only forgive your sins, but He'll change your life in a wonderful way. What He did for Jacqueline and I is not, it's miraculous. And not only did He change your life, but He sat us upon the rock. He sat us upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And He gives us now the opportunity to serve Him. And for 20 years, we've been in Ukraine serving Him. And what a blessing it is to stand up and serve the One who loved me and gave Himself for me. You know something? I couldn't put anything towards His finished, perfect work on the cross, because when He died upon the cross, His work was absolutely perfect in every way. And I couldn't add anything to it like the Roman Catholic Church told me to. If I would just go and do all these good works, along with trusting in Christ, that'll get you to heaven. No, it won't. His work is perfect, and it's finished. And thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ will never have to suffer again for sin, and He'll never have to go to the cross and die again for sin, because He died once, and He died once and for all. Friend, unsaved friend, don't be leaving tonight without Him. This is what He has done for you. What a Savior we have. I remember that night as I looked at my mother. She had just come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I started to think, when she was sleeping, for years she trusted in a church. She trusted in a system. Don't trust in any system. Whether it's Baptist, Free Presbyterian, Catholic, trust the Word of God. The Word of God will never fail you. And I wondered that night why she took that step at the end of. And this is what I came up with. My mother was getting worse and worse. She was fading away so quickly. And as she lay there, she started to wonder, where's Mary now? I've prayed to Mary every day of my life. Where is she when I need her most? Or where's the priest? He's not here now. Where is he? I've been serving him for the last 65 years. Where is he when I need him? Or where's the Pope? She loved the Pope and followed him everywhere. She went to Lourdes and all around the world to these shrines. Where were they all now that she was dying in her greatest moment of need? There was none of them to be found. But she remembered. The Holy Spirit reminded her that night that all she needs is the Lord Jesus Christ. She remembered something that I had told her in the past. A number of years before that the Holy Spirit brought her back, and she remembered what Jesus Christ had done for her, and she was able to believe in Him. The Lord kept her for another week and then brought her home to glory. I never had a relationship with my mother, but I'll see her again. I'll see her again in glory. Friends, what is it that's holding you back? Yes, I know ultimately it's the devil. If you're not saved, you belong to the devil. You belong to your father, the devil, the Lord Jesus Christ said. And for everybody who isn't saved, we either belong to God or we belong to the devil. If you're saved, you belong to the Lord. If you're not saved, you belong to the devil. This is how simple this is. You belong to the devil. You're of your father, the devil, if you're not saved. And the devil doesn't want you to trust in Jesus Christ. And he's holding on to you. And he'll not let you go. You have to make that conscious decision tonight before you leave that you're going to believe in Jesus Christ, you're going to accept him into your life, and that you're going to follow him. And if you do that, the Lord said, I'll forgive you, I'll save you, and I'll set you upon the rock. My father passed out into eternity unsaved, as far as I'm aware. Didn't believe anything. Didn't believe in eternity. Nothing out there. Nothing going to happen. Once you die, that's it. You know something? There are many people just like that today, and they're teaching it. They're teaching annihilation, that once you die, that's it. There's nothing. It's just like you never existed. There is no consciousness. There is no afterlife. That there's absolutely nothing. This is what people are telling. This is a lie from the pits of hell. It really is. I was reading the story of Christopher Columbus and going back to his day. And the people of his day, they believed that there was nothing beyond the islands and the countries of Europe. They didn't think that there was anything further on out. And the Spanish government, they put a monument up. And this monument said, Namas Allah, no more beyond. That's what it meant, no more beyond. There was nothing else except Europe. And then Christopher Columbus found the new world, he discovered the new world. And when he came back, the government put a new monument up, and they had a lion with a huge paw swiping away the word no. No more beyond, now read, more beyond. My father was so wrong, brothers and sisters. There is more beyond. There's more to come, you know. There's a lot more to come. And the Word of God tells us very, very simply, after death, the judgment. Do you realize that? Do you realize that when you pass out of this old world that we're living in now, you have a meeting with God? Do you realize that? Unsaved person, don't be going to sleep now. Listen just for a moment. The moment that you close your eyes in death, you're going to stand before God. And when you stand before God at the great white throne of judgment, we read it. We read it 20 minutes ago. And listen to what it says here. It says in verse 8, it actually calls it the roll call of hell. This is what this is called, the roll call of hell. This is what lies beyond this life that we are living in. When anybody tells you there's nothing else beyond, tell them there is. There's a lot more to come. You've got eternity to spend after death. And listen to what this verse 8 says. It's called the roll call of hell. And friends, as I read this out, I want everybody here tonight just to look at those verses, because you're in them. Thank God for the Christians here tonight. Yes, you were in them, but now you're not, because you've repented, you've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're no longer in the roll call of hell. But unsaved person, that you're here tonight, you are still in this roll call of hell. Now listen, and be absolutely honest, because you're going to find yourself here in just a moment. As I read these out, be honest and say, that's me. And Christian, whenever you see what you used to be, just bow your heart and say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you that you brought me out of this roll call of hell. Unsaved person, be absolutely honest and say, that's me. The fearful, that's the first one that God mentions here. In the roll call of hell, he talks about the fearful. Now, who are the fearful? The fearful, I believe, are the ones who are afraid to accept the Lord Jesus Christ into their lives. They're afraid of what their families will say. They're afraid of being laughed at and mocked by their friends. So they're afraid. They're afraid to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. They're afraid to accept him, to take a stand for him, because of what other people will say. Now, is that you? Unsaved person, is that you? Are you afraid? Do you know what the Greek says in this? The cowardly. It doesn't call them fearful. It calls them the cowardly. Are you fearful? Is this you? Have you found yourself immediately? You're afraid to accept Jesus Christ. Or maybe you're among the unbelieving. Maybe you just totally refuse to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Maybe you refuse to believe that he did come into this world, and that he went to the cross and he suffered and he shed his blood. And maybe you refuse to believe that he died upon that cross for your sins. or maybe refuse to believe that he rose again from the dead on the third day. Is that you? You just can't believe, or you won't believe? Dear unsaved friends, the Word of God tells us that this is what happened. Just believe the Word of God. Don't try and debate it with God. Don't try and reason it out in your mind. Believe what the Word of God is telling you. Have you found yourself already? Are you among the fearful or the unbelieving or the abominable? Those who live disgusting, immoral lives. Is that you? Because it was me at one time. I did that. I was in the first three. I lived the abominable life, drugs, alcohol, and everything that went with it, brawlers, you name it, they're all here. And there's only eight categories of sinner here. But in these eight categories is every sin known to God. Are you among the abominable? Or what about the whoremongers, adulterers, adulteresses, homosexuality, transgenderism, lesbianism? Are you among the whoremongers? Is this your lifestyle? Because it says if it is, you're not going to hell because you're a whoremonger. You're going to hell because you're a sinner. This is sin. This is categories of sin. And then it talks about sorcerers, those who are involved in the occult, right down to reading your horoscopes from newspapers and magazines. Do you realize that only God knows the future? He is the one who knows all about you. He knows your beginning. He knows the end. He knows exactly where you're going to go. And then it talks about idolaters. It's not just people who bow down to Mary. Maybe you're putting your job before God. Maybe you're putting your bank account or your car or your house or your family. Whatever we put before God becomes an idol. Is that you, that you'll not receive Jesus Christ into your life because you have someone more that you love? You love that more than you love the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what he's done for you. And then it says that all liars. And then it tells us they shall all have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. And then in verse 15 that we read, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in to the lake of fire. Dear unsaved friend, did you find yourself among this list of sin and sinners that I have just read to you? You're there. And you know something? There is more beyond. There's a lot more to come. But you can avoid that because God didn't want it to end here. And what God did for you and I is absolutely astounding. He sent his Son, the only one who has never sinned. God looked for a sinless substitute to send to Calvary. And as he scanned the universe for a sinless substitute, he found none except his own precious Son. And thank God the Lord Jesus Christ willingly came into this world and willingly went to the cross. You know something? It wasn't the wicked, it wasn't men who put him to death. He said, I have power to lay my life down and power to take it up again. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world and willingly went to the cross, willingly died upon that cross. During those hours of darkness as he hung upon the cross, his Father laid upon him the sins of the world. Unsaved person, your sins and my sins were among all of those sins that Jesus Christ died for. And the Word of God tells us that if we will just believe, there's nothing else to do. Just believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for your sins and rose again from the dead. And it said that you shall be saved. Please, brother, unsaved person, do not be leaving this building tonight without accepting the Lord Jesus Christ into your life. You're here tonight for a reason. You're not here because you've been invited. You're here because God has led you here. He wants to give you one more opportunity to hear what Jesus Christ has done for you. Will you come tonight and accept him into your life? Let him blot out your sins. Let him change that sinful heart. And who knows where you'll end up. You could end up in any country in the world serving him. God has a plan for your life. Will you come tonight, repent, accept him, and let God's plan go to work in your life? It's a good life. And may God give you the help that will enable you to come tonight and to accept him. Christian friends, let's continue to stand on our feet for the Savior. No slacking, no taking it easy, no being ashamed of the gospel. Let's take a real stand for the one who loved us and laid down his life in such a horrendous fashion on that cross. Let's take a stand for him, and let's not get too carried away. Let's not become lazy and lethargic about the things of God and especially his word. Let us remember how privileged we are. We're a privileged people tonight. Take your stand for the Lord. Love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And may God give you all the help that you need. Unsaved person, follow the Savior. And God bless you tonight. Thank you so much. Remember to pray for us as we head back at Christmas again. For 7 years after being saved, we studied the Word. And then for the past 20, it's been full steam ahead. What a Savior I have. I want to share him with the world. God bless you. Thank you.